Elliot.
Hello.
Both of us went on vacation this last week.
We did. I got trapped.
You were trapped in Amsterdam. And I was in Buffalo, which is basically a trap. Just an American trap.
I've never been, so I can't confirm or deny.
There's a large waterfall there. Niagara Falls.
I've heard of that, yeah. I'm aware of Niagara Falls.
Yep. And I think past that point, there's a football team, an American football team.
Buffalo Bills.
There's no... Yes. Past that point, I'm pretty sure we're down. There's a hockey team, too, but they're kind of bad. And
I've got a question. What's behind the waterfall? Yeah. Is there like a treasure chest, like in every RPG game ever?
I don't think so. I think there's actually like a walk that like the waterfall goes over, and I think there is like a walk that you can
do. Is there like a boss at the end of
it? No, I don't think so. So here's the thing, right? The actual waterfall, I believe, is on the American side because it rests on the border between America and Canada. But if you're American, you never look at the waterfall from the American side. You always go to the Canadian side because A, it's better looking, and B, Niagara Falls in the U.S. is a trash heap of a place. Right. Like, famously, it's really high crime, really, really shitty place. But Niagara Falls on the Canadian side is like mini Las Vegas.
Okay.
There's like a bunch of casinos. There's like, they've got the whole thing going on. They got like a mini strip and everything. So no one ever stays on the American side. So I have no clue what's on the American side for Niagara Falls. I know there's like, they have like a boat tour that if you've ever seen The Office, you've seen the,
I've not.
Jim and Pam go on. Jim and Pam went on a boat tour on the Maid of the Mist. There's like some stuff. I have no fucking clue because I've always been on the Canadian side. So,
well, I went to Utrecht for a few days. Went to a mini Halloween party in Alkmaar. And then I ended up, there was a storm on the day I was meant to fly back. So I ended up, getting stuck. I was stuck in Amsterdam for a day.
There are plenty of worse places.
There are, but the problem was I was stuck for 6 hours sorting out the free hotel and transport and stuff. By the time I got to my hotel, it was 4:30. I needed to wake up at... I needed to get to the airport for 5 in the morning. So I just slept most of the time, to be honest. I had about 3 hours myself, and then I slept because...
Wait, 4:30, like 12 hours before, right?
Yeah.
Because... Oh, okay. Because I was thinking in my head, 4:30 and you have to be at the airport at 5.
No.
You're not
doing... No, sorry, yeah, I got there 4:30 in the afternoon. I had to be there at 5 in the morning, and then I had to fly via Paris as well, and there was a 2-hour... No, it was supposed to be like 45-minute layover, but the flight was late, so I nearly missed my flight back home. It's a whole thing. And then that same day, the day I got back, so I was meant to get back on the Thursday, but instead obviously got back on the Friday. I had a meeting with my mortgage advisor to sort some stuff out for buying a house. And I was like, yeah, I've literally flown in this morning. Like,
you had about the same experience I did. I drove back from Syracuse on Monday morning to like 5-hour drive. I did it in like 4:47, which was exactly what the GPS said with stops. I was just like booking it the whole way. Great, got home, got into bed instantly, slept for 3 hours, then turn around and drove to New Jersey to go to the Chargers-Jets football game. Because, of course, I didn't get home till like 2 in the morning. So, yeah. All right, let's talk about Counter-Strike. On this episode of Overtime on Inferno, we're going to go through all the weird roster mania shit that's happened in the world's weirdest roster moves that isn't actually a roster mania, but kind of is. We'll talk about it after the intro song. Welcome to Overtime on Inferno, your weekly round of all the biggest news in Counter-Strike 2. My name is Logan, this is AZ-esque. Let's get into stuff. So obviously, Elliot missed last week, and I was about to leave like 6 hours later on a road trip. So we were a little out of it last week.
I was.
We're going to cover most of last week's news again with whatever updates we've gotten since.
Yeah, well, obviously
there are a couple new things, but not a huge amount. Okay, actually, there is some huge stuff. We'll get to it towards the end. So let's start with what happened last week. Wonderful was signed by Na'Vi.
No, that feels like an age ago. It feels like he's been there for 6 months by now.
So Wonderful was signed by Na'Vi to replace Simple, at least temporarily.
Yeah, although if you read Richard Lewis's piece, he seems to believe that Simple will retire and go and play Valorant. I honestly wouldn't be too surprised.
Is that really retiring?
Well,
I mean, okay, let's be very clear. I'm not a big fan of Valorant, right? Like, I don't think any of us are.
No, because you're retiring from Counter-Strike.
You're retiring from Counter-Strike. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. But to me, if you go into Valorant, it's just playing the same game with more cartoons.
Sure, but I guess it doesn't work because he came back, but when Michael Jordan retired from basketball to go and play baseball. But that doesn't work because he actually came back, which is actually making the opposite point of what I mean.
He's just the GOAT. Don't worry. So it's a weird situation because obviously Simple does not have the same want to play Counter-Strike as he previously did.
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly. Well, I think he said it on stream that he just like,
well, he this game. He also tweeted out, yeah, don't play this shit game or something. So,
yeah, it just doesn't feel right. Breath. Which, like, I feel that. We've been very on the same boat here.
I'm hoping the upcoming changes to lag comp and interp and all of that shit makes it so I'm actually able to hold an angle, because I'm quite a passive Counter-Strike player and it's very difficult to hold an angle in this game. So I'm having to just play like a moron.
See, I love it. I'm the first. I'm entry pack. I'm first guy in. It's lovely.
I'm first guy in sometimes on executes, but like, for example, on Overpass, my role was always connector player, and I play connector very passively on the T side.
Oh, okay. So I also play connector. I play connector very aggressively.
Yeah, see, like I will, I'll hold for a peek, because connector as a CT, if you get stuck in there, you're in trouble. You're so fucked. If I just hold one end, if somebody goes in there, they either die to me or they have to come back up and then they're in trouble. I can't hold that fucking angle on CS2. It's not possible. You can't hold angles. So until that, like, I'm severely nerfed.
On Overpass specifically.
Well, I mean, there are other maps I'm, it's similar.
Yeah. But yeah, so because of that, Simple's not playing right now. So Na'Vi signed Wonderful. Generically, I think this is probably about the best pickup they could have gotten to replace Simple.
I think stylistically he's pretty different, but he's a very good player.
Yeah, no, stylistically he's absolutely different. But if I just was going, I need a new CIS offer to replace Simple, who's someone that we've seen play before, Wonderful's probably.
It's also not even CIS, like, it has to be not Russian, but Russian speaking. Na'Vi won't sign Russians.
Yeah, he is
Ukrainian.
Yeah, he is. Okay. Yeah, so with that, there's not that many people that fit the bill. Though, that team's speaking English.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you are right.
Alexei B's on that team. Yeah, that team is speaking
English.
It's
still weird to me that Na'Vi aren't speaking
Russian. Oh, yeah.
But yes.
No, and I went right with you, man.
Well, you said, they need a CIS open. I was like, yeah, no, but it needs to be not Russian. So it has to be like Ukrainian or something. But that's not even true at all.
God.
They actually had pick of anyone, and they still went with him, which is probably a mark of how good he is. Wonderful is a brilliant player. Yeah. He's a very, very good clutcher, very reliable AWPer, but he isn't the most aggressive, which Simple is. That might actually suit their new style. But
yeah, I was going to say, I like that better because it means Ima's got a lot more
wiggle room.
Space to do Ima things, and JL may have some more space to BJL.
Yeah, JL's become more of a support player on this team. He hates the phrase support player, but he just kind of is.
Yeah, because, well, Bit's never been that, like, super aggro player either.
No, Bit has, like, the mechanics of an anchor. Like, his aim is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But you don't always trust him to make the right decision, but you point him at an angle and he'll kill everyone on it.
Yeah, but so moving Wonderful in means Ima gets loosened up a little bit. I like the idea. My problem will be that Simple, regardless of his status as the best Counter-Strike global offensive player, regardless of any of that, Simple is one of the, like, he's a top five opera in the world and also is a top five rifler in the world. So you lose a lot of the, like, even if Wonderful, let's say he's a top 10 opera in the world, which
it's not entirely unfair.
We could. No, it's not. He's not a top 10 rifler.
No,
in the world.
He's not. He's not a liability as a rifler. He's kind of similar to OC where he's like, he's a solid rifler. He's a good rifler. Yeah. But you're probably not picking him up as a rifler. You're picking him up to be the primary opera.
Exactly. And Simple lets the team play a little bit more loose. The same, you could say, insert the statement for Zai Wu. You can insert the statement for Device. Most of these high, top tier, top five oppers are also very good riflers, with the exception of Shiro in my head.
Shiro's
just a very
Shiro's
a good
rifler. Yeah, he's not bad at all.
He's a good rifler. But again, if Device, Zai Wu, Simple just decided to stop opping, they'd still be top five riflers. I don't think Shiro would be.
Would Device be a top five rifler?
He'd be good. He'd be a top 10 rifler.
He'd be good. I'm not sure he's better than... Like, you have to think who's in the top five riflers. Like, it's pretty fucking good players there. Like, do you think Device is a better rifler than Kei Sarato would be?
I don't know.
Because I don't. I'm not biased at all. But I don't think he's
so.
Better than Rops.
I think he'd be a top 10 or just outside of top 10. I think that's a reasonable
place. If we're counting Simple, Zai Wu, and then you've still got Nico, Kei Sarato, Rops, Frozen even, like players like this.
Yeah, no, there's definitely arguments. It's an argument. It's not certain. But like,
I think Simple's probably still a top 10 rifler.
Yeah, so that's the bit here, is that Simple isn't just the op player. He has to also be replaced by rifle, so it means the rest of the team.
But I say, Wonderful is a lot more passive. Or at least on Spirit, he was very, very passive.
Yes.
He was their clutch player. He was like a Nork or a Skadoodle or a Hades.
Something I want to bring attention to is, because it's Spirit, I want to wait for a minute, because Spirit as a team plays fucking weird every iteration, and because Chopper's on that team,
they also had Patsy,
the rest
right
of the players,
like, there's no opening jewels left for anyone else when you've got Patsy.
Yeah, so you kind of are forced to play passive as an op with Patsy, with Chopper. So maybe he's allowed to be a little bit more aggressive in Ami.
I haven't watched him on Sprout, and I've not really looked at any data of him on Sprout. And it's also a brand new game. Yeah. There's all sorts of weirdness going on. Like, you're going to have fewer orps as well because it's MR12.
Yeah, it's just not as good.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
just not as good
so.
As it was in Global Offensive. Well,
let's talk about that, actually, because there's the Device interview a few days ago where he said, like, he's happy the orb isn't as OP. Now, at the moment,
it isn't
that good. But I think there's the bug about it being more inaccurate when you get shot, and there's the tracer stuff. But I actually think the big difference with the AWP is subtick and how that works. But I just think that's something we will eventually get used to. Yes, right now,
it feels
weird.
I absolutely think it's used to. Well, so the subtick shooting thing, right, is guns should be more accurate.
It shoots when you press the button, where is
when
your
you
crosshair?
Shoot. Yeah.
Whereas on go, where you shot, it shot at the end of your flick, essentially.
Yeah, which means that flicking was a lot easier to do.
Yes, but only because we're used to that system. I actually think, don't think flicking is actually any harder. I've criticized CS2 plenty, but I actually think that change we will get used.
I think it's
6 months time, AWPers will be used to it, and they'll be maybe not just as good because there's economy issues. And the big thing for AWPing right now is still the peeker's advantage is ridiculous. You can't hold an angle. So that's the big thing at the moment. But I actually think mechanically people will get used to it quite quickly.
We need to take a detour. We need to go. We're going to go talk about another CS team in a second, but we need to take a detour because you brought Device up. Astralis did a photo shoot. They're in China right now for the Counter-Strike Asian Cup or yeah, something like that.
CS Asia Championships.
CAC. Yeah. It's for the CS Asia Championships. That's what it is. And they're there with like a bunch of teams that no one really cares about.
There's some decent teams there.
There's some decent teams there, but
Asian teams, Tyloo, LinVision, and
There's Wings Up, NiP, LinVision, Tyloo. There's just a bunch of stuff going on, and there were teams that like I think Liquid pulled out of this because they wanted to fix their shit, and but they had a media day, and that media day involved all of the Astralis players dressing up in like samurai garb.
It's like really like traditional Chinese attire, I think. It's like,
and they're the only team that did it. Like, you look through, you see the FaZe photo, like you look through me, like FaZe didn't do it, NiP didn't do it, no one else did it, but Astralis are in this full garb. It's great. It will be the content of memes for a long time.
It's interesting.
It's definitely a choice they made. Okay, let's talk about the other CIS team. Actually, I guess a CIS team, considering Na'Vi isn't really a CIS team anymore. Cloud9, Shiro stepped down, and we're specifically choosing the word stepped down. He was not getting benched. He chose to bench himself. And so in that, Cloud9 decided that the best way to replace a top five, top seven opera in the world was to sign Boomich.
They did need an in-game leader.
They really needed an in-game leader.
I don't know
who's
going to warp on this team.
So it's been a combination of Perfecto and Boomich.
Wow, that's...
I hate it.
I don't think I'd want either of those two to warp.
To be fair, who else would I choose to warp on this team? But why would I get rid of Axile's rifle? With Electronic.
He's not been good recently at all. He's not been good. And he's not good in playoffs either. Like, you got to give him the device treatment. Stop him choking by giving him the gun you can't choke with.
I guess. So this team is now 3/5 of the Na'Vi team that won the major.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just Na'Vi Redux.
They're missing Simple and Bit.
And they replaced him with Axile and Hobbit, which of a downgrade from those two at the time.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Simple to Axile is just a straight downgrade, and the Bit to Hobbit is also just a straight downgrade.
Cloud9,
as much as I love Hobbit, I've been very high on Hobbit for a long time.
Cloud9 must feel like really short change. They spent a lot of money to sign this roster, and the player who's really worth all the money is benched himself. Nafani is the guy who bought him up. They got rid of, so I guess that's their own fault, but the players wanted rid of him. They got rid of Inters, and all they've done is create a worse version of the Na'Vi roster.
Well, and the funny bit is the players that are gone, so Inters is now on TSM. That roster is
dead.
Floundering.
Yeah, it's a dead roster.
It's floundering more than some other rosters we'll talk about later. and then Nafani went to BetBoom, made his own team of all the CIS rejects, and is absolutely clapping cheeks.
Yeah, it turns out Nafani's actually, this is the guy that bought up Shiro and Axile from, like, nowhere to, like, one of the best teams in the world, and then was just, like, scapegoated for all of these issues, and it's like, well, even the players are saying, Shiro was saying that he does a lot of the calling over Nafani. So why is Nafani getting scapegoated for... like, the calling is clearly a decision from the whole team.
Yeah. I don't know. So the hope is that Boomich being brought in will help this team figure some of their shit out. And maybe get into a groove that has nothing... That's I swear that wasn't a joke because their coach's groove. That wasn't on purpose. Boomich has recently been playing for One Win.
Yep.
They did fine. They haven't been great. They haven't been bad. It's just the Exentropic guys.
You're kind of just hoping that Boomich just finds like the calling that won Na'Vi, you can argue whether or not it was his calling that won the major, but two of the players know him, they'll vouch for him. They're like this guy,
The only reason they would have signed Boomich over like someone else is because Electronic
Sorry,
and Perfecto said, we want Boomage. Like that's the reason why. I don't think that if you're given your pick of Russian IGL, as you go, yes, we would like Boomage.
Well, no, but I mean, the best ones are Jame, who's you're never getting out of. I mean, actually, Jame would have fixed a lot of the problems of this team. He's an AWP and an IGL. But you have to convince him to leave us.
But they're not getting Jame.
Nafani, who you've already kicked. Blade, who's been retired for a few years. Who else you got?
You're going to get Blade?
Yeah, who else you got?
Did we not just see Blade play?
Well, exactly. That's a terrible idea. Like, who else is there? Like,
Jerry.
Jerry. Where is Jerry, actually? Isn't he somewhere?
I think he made his own team.
That doesn't surprise me. Jerry doesn't seem like the kind of guy who wants on that sort of team.
Oh, he's playing for the best. He's playing for Parry Vision.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Exapower, Jerry, and then four random Russians I've never heard of, which means they're the best players in the world.
Yeah, like, that's what he likes doing. He likes playing with young players who he can mold. Like I actually think he...
Oh, it's the K23 core. Okay. Plus one guy, plus Jerry.
I'm not convinced. I love Jerry. I don't know how good he would be with the better team. I think he likes having soldiers he can mold to his will. He's more like... It's going to sound... He's like a David Moyes, Sean Dyche type, where they're really good with good players, but maybe disappointing with great players. That's my read on Jerry, is that I think he would struggle a little bit with egos, with players who are already developed and know what they want to do, because I think he has quite specific ideas on what he wants players to do, and you have to get them young and teach them that.
Okay. Let's pivot. Another new IGL. NIP has been doing something.
I like this move. I actually like this
okay,
move.
Okay, so let's start with the bit that NIP is... They're doing something. In the last week and a half, they've removed Hampus because he didn't have the respect of the players, which is a direct quote from Hampus, okay? Which in my head says Config didn't like him as IGL. But I have no basis or proof in that. Okay?
It's probably not unfair though, is it?
I have zero proof or basis, but that just tracks.
Yeah,
in my
head. It tracks in mine as well, now you've said it.
So past that point, then Brolin was also benched,
which is reasonable. I mean, his rating in the last 3 months is ugly.
He's been terrible. And so they've brought in Essatag, who we know definitely works on NIP.
Do we? I know he definitely works for NIP.
That was sarcastic. That was a huge amount of sarcasm. Right. And they brought in Alex.
I like Alex.
Okay. So I'm in with you. I have a statement on it. So someone told me that apparently Movistar has been like calling around to try and sell Alex and their coach.
Okay.
I have to find it.
I mean, there could be reasons for that. Like there could be like the player wants to leave. It could be they need the money. It could be anything. Yeah. You never know.
They were offered him and their coach a few times over the past year. Apparently, Movistar values their players are massively undervalued. Apparently, Sun Pius's buyout was 30K at one point.
He went to Ents for 50K. I know that.
Yeah, but 30K was at one point.
He went for 50K, which is still massively undervalued.
Yeah, but point being is that it looks like Movistar is like not trying to sell players, but absolutely shopping players. So this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
that Alex moved. I mean, I'm in
Alex
on it.
Alex has consistently had a Movistar team that does not, mechanically, is nowhere near the level that they are at. He has consistently had them playing above their mechanical level whilst being one of the better players on the team. Let's not forget that. Like, DreamHack Valencia, the event they won, he was fucking lights out. He was unbelievable at that event. And I mean, know it's a tier two event, but like, he can fucking play the game. And he's a good in-game leader.
I mean, every time they do like roughly okay, like in Stockholm when they did pretty decent, like and when we come forward through the majors and stuff when they were doing okay, he's been good.
He's
like, I have no qualms with Alex. My qualms with this move are and continue
the
to
rest
be
of the team.
What the fuck is NIP doing?
So my problem with it is that I think Alex deserves a better shot than this.
I agree. They've replaced Hampus with another player that plays similarly to Hampus. And like, I'm not saying exactly similar. I don't think Alex is as much.
Hampus to Alex. Yeah, fine. Yeah, fine.
Yeah. Another player that's roughly similar, right? You have an IGL player who's going to take some resources and be a good player in the server. But what the fuck have you done with the rest of the team? You've taken Brolin and replaced him with Essatag, which is basically a more consistent version of Brolin, who's been the worst player on this team for the last 6 months and has not been worth his salt. So what the fuck have we done?
I think this team mechanically just isn't that good. Like, you have Rez, who has his moments, but is actually pretty underwhelming. Like, people like to pretend that Rez is this like mechanical superstar, and he's mechanically good, but only sometimes.
He was this mechanical superstar, but he just never became consistent enough to be.
And
to
he is an entry fragger, so you kind of let him off on a lot of that, but whatever. If you're tracking them to like Movistar, he's like their Mopars, which is fine. Like, again, you have to remember that Alex did, like, this, the Movistar team that Alex had like fifth in the world was no better than this NIP team mechanically. And I am not high on any of these NIP players particularly. I quite like Head Trick, but you know, he's not insane.
To be fair, he had Son Pius, who I don't think anyone thought
Son
was
Son Pius
insane.
Wasn't that good for a while,
Son Pius
and
was
then
great.
Like, he just became a god. Like, hopefully he can do the same with Head Trick. Yeah. Like, I think for the talent they have, I think there's actually very few players better than Alex to actually get the best out of them. I actually really like the Alex move. Like, the more I think about it, the more I like
problem, it. The problem is the for the players they
have. Well, yeah. But not everyone can have the best team in the world.
I hate this team. I know, but this team is a series of contradictions and attempting to get the first best in every role and settling for the fifth best.
But somebody's got to.
And that doesn't mean my problem with teams like NIP in this situation and Liquid to the same degree, because I've said this about Liquid, is that they don't commit to their identity about it. NIP is supposed to be this Swedish.
Yeah, you might as well have been shit and been Swedish.
You might have been shit and been Swedish than shit and European. It's the same with Liquid. You might as well have been shit and American or North American than been shit and in Europe. It's the same thing with NIP. Now, if Alex turns all this shit around and if Essatag suddenly becomes a good player again, I will eat my words. I'll be happy to. But I have no faith in this team.
I have more faith in this team with Alex at the helm than I did any other time in the last few months.
The bar is set low.
It is, but I think I'm actually kind of interested to watch NIP for the first time in a long time because I actually want to see what Alex can do with them. That Movistar team, I don't think you understand quite. Like, he had a team with Deaths in it and he got him in the top 10. Deaths is so bad. Davy G is not a good player. And yet, like, he had these players in the top 10. Like, Essatag and Rez are better than Deaths and Davy G. If you can get them in the top 10, he can have this team top 5. Like, we'll see, but like, if I was an NIP fan, I would be excited about this move. Thankfully, I'm not.
All right, let's talk about the team in the world that's the hardest to understand in an in-game comms. Vitality have signed Mezzi.
Yeah.
That means you have two Frenchmen speak English, two Israelis speak English, and whatever English Mezzi speaks.
He's Brummy. He's like a soft Brummy.
That's a lot of accents.
It is, but I think generally,
I'm not saying it in a bad way or anything. It's just
I think accents. It'll be harder for Mezzi to understand the French than vice versa. Jeremy, if you learn English as a second language, it's a lot easier to understand different accents. That's something I realized because I will struggle to not struggle, but it will take me a little while to adjust to like a Spaniard speaking English. Whereas if you're like, you know, you're Eastern European or something, you hear a Spaniard speaking English, it's generally easier for them because the accent doesn't matter so much. It's hard to explain, but I'm convinced it's a thing. I don't know if it is a thing, but I'm convinced it's a thing.
Oh, it
makes sense to me, because anytime I speak to people not from England who speak English as a second language, they understand each other easier than I do.
Okay, so Mezzi joining Vitality. You may ask who he's replacing on Vitality. It's Majisk. We'll talk about him in a little bit.
I like this move again. Like this move a lot.
This Vitality has had like four moves in a row that are just very good.
It's just a shame they haven't got Duke.
Here's the thing, right? So this Vitality team used to be Apex, Zywoo, Dupree. What was it? Dupree, Majisk, and who was there before that?
Before Spinx. Masuta.
Masuta, right?
Yeah.
And since that point, they've made three moves and all have been very good.
Yeah. Well, Flames, Dupree to Flames, you know, jury's out on that one for me. I love Dupree.
Dupree to Flames, we've stated straight up, heads up.
Long term.
It seems
fine,
like a move.
Yeah.
It is a long term move. Right. We're okay.
I just
like
Dupree.
It's a long term move.
He's a winner.
I love Dupree too. But it's a long-term move. And even if it isn't a long-term move, you know what? Fuck it. Like, Flamesy is just as good as Dupree is. And now we get to see Dupree go play on Heroic, which is its own... We didn't talk about that. I don't think we need to talk about it. But...
I like that the Heroic admin on Twitter is just like, anytime somebody say, like, no, focus on your team, he's like, why? We don't have one. It's just, it's a really good
We'll talk about it with the dumpster fire at the end, because we've got a list of dumpster fires. So I like this move from Vitality. I'm in on it.
Yeah.
If Mezzi can regain his, like, I'm very good at the game.
Mezzi's super versatile, which is what you need to replace Majisk. Majisk does everything. Like, Majisk is, and this might be a, I'm not sure you'll get this reference, but he's CS's Ilkay Gundogan. There is not a part of the game that Majisk isn't world class at. Majisk is like, you watch Ilkay Gundogan play football, there's not anything he does badly. There's not anything he doesn't do brilliantly. Majisk is exactly the same. No matter what you need, he can do it to a world class level. Like at the major, they were like starting to stumble. Magician said, right, leave me alone towards B. I will get two entries. I will win the round. You need a guy to go in first and execute. He's just like, yeah, I'll do it. And he's brilliant at it. You need a guy to win a clutch. He's your man. You need a guy to hold down a sight on his own. Magician does it flawlessly. Great spray control. Great first bullet aim. There's nothing he doesn't do brilliantly. Finding a player like that with his experience is near impossible. I think I tweeted, I think there are three players in the world who can potentially replace Majisk. And that is a potential. And one of them is Twists, who was another one who could do everything to a world-class level. I think Shush, and then Shush, you're kind of getting Majisk's decision-making and his spray control, but you don't necessarily get his, like, aggression. Mezzi can do everything. He just doesn't have the experience yet.
The problem is you can't even say Majisk is one of a kind, because Twists does exist, and Twists and Majisk are so ridiculously similar.
Majisk is maybe even colder than Twists, but both of them, like, when the pressure is on, you look there, you're going.
I don't want anyone else in the world in a clutch other than those two. When the game is down to the line, when
I am Cologne, map 5, round 30, Carrigan calls that outside. Who is the guy who drops into mini? He gives it to Twist. He's like, Twist, this is your job. Twist wins the fucking cup for him, because he's that guy in that moment. And you know that if Majisk was on that team, he'd be that guy.
He would have done the same thing.
He's the guy for the big moment. Mezzi has everything in his locker. It's whether or not he can be that cold in the big moments. That's kind of going to be the make or break thing for him versus Majisk. But as a player, he's brilliant. Man. He's ridiculously good.
I think it's actually a big help for him joining this team, because every other team he's been on, he's had to be the guy. He's had to be
Cloud9. He wasn't
first team. We can talk about that Cloud9 team.
But that's what. But that actually gives me a lot of faith because he's been a bit.
Yeah, because he was really good.
He's been a star player, and he's been. He was an in-game leader for a bit on Fnatic, where he wasn't the star as well. Like, he's done everything. He's a very, very versatile player.
But the point is, when he was on that Cloud9 team, he was very good.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
he was
when
so much better
he was
than
playing with Essatag, he was playing with Alex, British Alex, he was playing with Woxic, he was playing with Floppy, right?
God, that when team's weird. He was on that team.
We need to just have a day where we talk about
that team in retrospect is fucking mental.
I want that team. But
Essatag was the star. Mezzi was the support player, and Essatag was the star. And we just went, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. Okay. So, but point being is because Mezzi doesn't have to be the guy because he had to be the guy on Fnatic, right? That was the only way Fnatic did anything, especially once he stopped being an IGL, is Mezzi was the guy. That was it. Crims has always been good. He will continue to be good, but he's not the guy anymore. Mezzi was the guy. Mezzi doesn't have to be the guy. He doesn't have to be the one that gets 30 kills a game. They've got Sphinx, Flames, and Zywood to go do that.
The depth of rifle power on that team is insane.
Right? Like... Man. Right, Mezzi just needs to be in the right place at the right time, get kills. He needs to do Magisk's job, which is be the chameleon.
Mezzi, oh my god. And Mezzi's their third best player. Flames is their fourth best player. That team is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous team. Flames and Mezzi are their third and fourth best players.
The big thing I want to add to this is that Vitality is going through a thing, right? Because they brought in Exitaz after Zonic left. And so they lost one of the help on the calling and stuff for Apex, who I think we generally refer to as not the best IGL, but he's
better than I ever thought he would be. I don't think he's a genius, but he's not a liability.
He's better than so my point here is that Apex now gets a little bit of mid-round help from Mezzi.
That's true, yeah.
Who has done the job.
And Magisk same as way well, that, right? Yeah.
Exactly the same way Magisk did it before, is that we're really replacing it like for like here in as trying to get a similar of a player. The only player you could have gotten that was as similar is Twists, who doesn't have that same kind of experience.
And they also tried to sign Twists. They did try to sign Twists. So they clearly recognized the same.
They understand the same that there's like four players that fit this. And that's
right, Twists or Mezzi. That's it.
All right. Let's talk about Nico. Let's talk about G2. So Nico is reported last week, set to go to Falcons, absolutely happening. He's going there. There's a possibility that Manazi follows, though G2 is saying we don't want to sell him. And then it just stopped.
So there was a rumor about G2 not really being able to afford Nico, like his salary being too high. And I think it's quite noticeable that G2 came out and said, we're not looking to sell Monacy. But they never said, we're not looking to sell Nico. And I think they were very, if not trying to sell Nico, very willing to. And Nico has then at the last minute gone, no, actually, I want to stay at G2. I don't know if G2 wanted him to stay. I genuinely don't know. I don't know if they wanted him to stay, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were like quite willing to sell him. And when he stays, like, oh, right. Yeah, I guess. And now they're just going to have to try and win everything because why else, you know, otherwise it's not worth it. But it would have been fun to see Falcons build this ridiculous super team. And they're going to struggle now.
Well, hold on. Cause we're going to talk about Falcons in a minute and they've got some spots to
fill.
But Nico staying, it was this kind of, it happened on Twitter and it happened through like Nico replying to shit that like Bubsky wrote, that Falcons was writing themselves. It was this weird like out in public thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't normally happen, of him just denying everything straight up. And then it comes out that no, yeah, he wasn't bullshitting you. He really wasn't.
Nico doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would bullshit on Twitter, to be honest. He seems like the guy, he says something, he really fucking believes it.
He means it, yeah. But it was a little bit of a weird thing. All right, I want to turn now to Falcons. The Nico news is big, but it doesn't really matter. It's kind
yeah,
of,
like it is all in, yeah, yeah, quo. Exactly. It doesn't actually change.
Yeah, all in. We're at net zero. So Falcons though, they've benched everyone except for Boros after Zonic said that everyone will have a chance to stay, which we all knew was bullshit. So that means NBK, Body, Lounge, and MHL are all gone, which, not surprised. They've kept Boros. Good start, Zonic. From what we know, Majisk will be joining. Actually, it is all but confirmed.
Vitality have already signed Mezzi. Like, that was confirmed as we're recording today. So Majisk, I'm pretty certain, is going. And I think they were probably hoping to announce all of them at once, which, you know, not ideal.
Yeah. So Majisk is through. Nico is not coming anymore. There was
and I don't think Monacy will if Nico stays.
I don't think Monacy is either. Snappy apparently has reached a verbal agreement with the team.
I've heard that's happening, but again, I don't know.
We had a conversation, I think 2-3 weeks ago, about Falcons. When we talked about it, that we said that Snappy likes to build his own teams, that he may not do as well on a team that he doesn't get to decide what players are on it. That if he's just put in charge of 4 or 5 players that someone else assembles versus him figuring out what players are going to work for him. I actually like this team better that Nico's not on it because of that.
I don't know. I feel like Snappy for so long has not had like a super team. Do you know what I mean? Like he's never been given like a real, like he's never been given the Man City, the Bayern Munich. Like I feel like he really deserved that one chance at the end of his career. Like, here you go. Here's Nico. Here's Monacy. Here's Majisk. Go and fucking win everything.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm in on it. Like, I'm good for it.
I wonder if Snappy's verbal agreement was on the proviso that Nico is joining. Maybe, like, now he's, like, actually seeing Nico's gone, he might change his mind. The last I heard was that he'd agreed, but nothing was signed, but he had agreed.
So there's not really many more rumors, which is interesting. Because for a while at the beginning, when Zonic went over, there was rumors that every single player that played Counter-Strike was going to Falcons. And now it's slowed down a lot. That the only rumor is that Snappy is going.
So,
other than Majisk, which we know is a certain done deal. So we're still left with two open spots? Two to three open spots
on this
team?
It's two open spots. Boros, Majisk, Snappy. Let's just assume Snappy's going. The problem is, if Nico was the player you were trying to sign, how the fuck do you find a different Nico? How do you do that? Genuinely, I think there's one answer.
Yeah.
And it's simple as a rifler. Which he has said he would like to do.
I think there's a couple other answers. I'm okay with that. I think there's a couple other answers. Rops, in my head,
I suppose if FaZe... Yeah.
Player, if FaZe are in fact doing what we are expecting FaZe to do, which is kind of die, Rops would be the only person from that FaZe team that I
personally
would grab.
Get the feeling
because you don't grab
Rops will want to stay with Carrigan. Together I get the feeling Rops would want to stay with Carrigan. He's won everything with him.
I think that's true. FaZe itself is its own question because I assume Brokey stays with Carrigan. I assume Rain stays with Carrigan, and for what it's worth, Rain cannot go to this Falcons team. There's too many role clashes with Majisk. It would not work.
I don't think he's at the level they want, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
Boros will be the sort of aggressor on the T side as well, but
I just don't think that Rain and Majisk on the same team works. It doesn't work.
To be honest, Majisk is so versatile, you could put him anywhere and it'd be fine.
I know, but but either way, I think Rain probably... So they need a fifth player.
Well, I say they were looking at Nico Monacy, so they're looking for a god-tier rifle or pirate. I could see Shiro joining this team.
Yeah, Shiro's a possibility. I have a gut feeling about Shiro.
Which is?
Which is, my gut feeling is that he's trying to go to Bet Boom or TSM.
No. He's not trying to go to TSM, bro. It's Shiro.
My gut feeling is he wants, I understand. My gut feeling is that he doesn't like the way Cloud9 is, and he wants to go back to Inters and or
Nah, he tried to get Nafany kicked. He don't want to play with Nafany.
See, but this is one of those things where he's like, he tried to do that, and then he realized how good he had it before.
Yeah, but I think Nafany would tell
this
him
is,
to shove it.
This is, for what it's worth, absolute fucking wild speculation.
Of course.
For me. Like,
I'm trying to have a look now. Who else?
The problem is like, yeah, I don't know who the fuck else signs with Falcons. I literally have zero clue. And like the people that are just like around, Brolin, no, doesn't make sense. Like,
how good Caserato's
English? Doesn't make sense. Well, Caserato didn't want to go to Liquid.
Yeah,
from,
true.
Like, he was approached by Liquid. Why would he want to go to Falcons?
Fucking money.
Yeah, but I think Brazil is paying.
Yeah, that's true.
Chunk of money
Brazil do
as
pay
well.
A lot, but do they pay Falcons money?
Brazil's probably paying a lot, and Caserato's got a really nice long contract.
True.
So this is one of those things that we forgot about that Furia did, is they did like a 5-year contract 4 years ago or some shit like that. And we all went at the time, holy shit, that's an eternity in esports years, and then Furia just kind of has made total sense.
Well,
for that contract,
I mean, they also gave
existed.
Abel J like a really long contract, which, you know. Oh, yeah, exactly. I didn't. I never forget. I could see them, and I'm not saying this is a good idea, but I could see them throwing money at Dong.
That is a terrible idea.
I don't know if it's a terrible idea. Honestly, it might be a good idea. I'm just not sure.
I wonder if they try and grab some of the Ents players.
Right.
If Snappy's leaving, then maybe they pull a player, but like the problem is I only see three of them possible. So Nerds won't go because there's other issues there, geopolitical issues.
Yeah, let's keep it at that.
But Madden, Diha, and Sun Pius, maybe? Like, I don't know. I have no clue.
I'd be surprised, but I mean, I guess Ents don't have loads of money, but I think Ents are trying to just sign Glaive, right, to replace and just carry on. I think the problem is they're going to have to find a Nico level player, and I don't think there's any available unless you make one, which is what I think Donk would be an attempt to do.
Yeah. Before we get to the last bits, which will include our dumpster fire section, about 3 minutes ago, NATO Sapphix retired, which.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, his career has never
like
quite
was
taken off in the way he wanted to.
No.
It's kind of a shame, but
I just felt it was one of those interesting things to put on.
I don't want to be mean or anything, because he's a hell of a lot better than I'll ever be, and by all accounts, he's a pretty nice guy. So, but like, yeah, no, his career never really took off, and
apparently knows a lot about birds. I did do a lot of research because we talked about having him on the podcast at the very beginning.
That means something very different over here. If you say you know a lot about birds, it means you're a...
No. Literally.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know
like
what you
the
mean.
Flying
it took me a second when you said it. I was like, really? Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
No, I was
like, really?
Very serious.
He doesn't seem like the type.
Okay. So now we're talking about team news. We've got three of them. Two good, one dumpster fire. Let's start with... Crew. So Crew is a Argentinian team that participates in America in VCT. They're one of the South American teams that are in the Americas bit. They're in a bunch of esports. They're now partially owned by Messi. Mm-hmm. And in 2024, they will be joining into Counter-Strike 2.
Well, they said
which
they
is
are.
Cool.
We've been here before.
Well, you know, the last team that said we're joining into Counter-Strike was TSM.
Yeah, but they also said they were doing it, and then it took 2 years, so.
Yeah, I have a little bit more faith in Crew.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they have, you know, real teams and aren't trying to actively leave and have real money behind them that doesn't seem to be all VC money. The same with other stuff. I mean, Sergio Aguero and Lionel Messi are rich enough to fund this out of their own pockets and don't need to super worry about it. So
yeah, everyone's rich enough to fund it until they aren't. That's the problem, right?
Point being, I'm in to see it. I'm happy to see where let's keep going. Number two on teams trying to get in, NRG. They're back, maybe. That's a bit. That's they have an idea of what they want to do.
Yeah.
That's all we know.
I wonder if the next story we're going to get to is anything to do with that.
And here's the dumpster fire of the week coming
it's
from DeSerto
every week.
It's a good point. It's the dumpster fire of the year. We're gonna do the TLDR awards at the end of the year. I've just decided this now. We're gonna have an award show.
I feel like we have a lot of ideas fire of the mid-episode year. Episode that never actually occur.
I'm gonna start right.
It might be
down.
A good idea.
Evil Geniuses is reportedly dropping all of their CS2 teams. I'm pretty sure it's confirmed now. And apparently, separately, are also selling their LCS slot. So
yeah, they want out. They've given up.
They want out of everything.
They were flying until CS, and then they just completely fucked it.
I know some people who used to work for EG. I've heard that
there's been a lot of bad stuff about them recently, hasn't there?
Well, not recently, like a year and a half ago. He used to work for EG. And everything I've heard is just like, right now they have like 7 people there and it's one person to run their Twitter and that's about it. Like, yeah, it's like the C-levels and their Twitter manager and that's it. So NRG coming back is cool. They have a core in mind. I hope it involves OC. I assume that they're going to be grabbing from a bunch of EG players. There are good players on the EG team for what it's worth. Automatic still does exist.
There's some rumors about Stewie, but I don't know how real they are. I think they might just be copium.
Stewie's been standing in for Mythic, which is Flom's team. And he's looked very good in their ECL matches.
I should hope he does at that level.
I mean, ECL is below what I think Stewie should be playing at. That's what I mean. If Stewie can play well in ECL.
That's what I mean. Like, as much as I, among many others, like to rag on Stewie for whatever, we have to remember he was a tier one player. Like, he should be good at ECL level. I know it's been a while, but like, you never completely lose it. He should still be good at that level.
My favorite was Evil Geniuses being announced to be one of the invited teams to the most prestigious Counter-Strike tournament of the year, Mustache Masters, and then 2 days later,
folding.
Dying.
They probably
as a
still
team.
Go as like because it's
no, they are. They absolutely are.
They're gonna go as like
I believe they're there.
Good
as,
stupid people.
I'm pretty sure they were there last year as EG and friends with Scudoodle opping for them or some shit like that. EG dumpster fire of the decade, perhaps.
Yeah,
like. Like, oh my lord, it's bad. They're real bad.
Yeah, they're like this roster has been an unmitigated disaster. Ever since the first six months.
And I need to say this because it's worthwhile saying. It sucks that this has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Because
for NA,
Evil Geniuses as a brand is one of the most storied brands in esports. Right, their Dota team before they fucked it up was legendary. Their Call of Duty team won COD champs like before the Optic Dynasty started. They have had a very good history in esports. And they've thrown it all away.
Yep, they have. They fucked it.
And like it sucks because a couple years ago, no one cared about EG. And then they started to fix their shit and they got the LCS slot and they said, we're going to spend all of the money. We're going to try and import all of it, but we're going to try and make the best team. And they succeeded in doing that for a bit. And then they just threw it all away.
Yeah. And they continued to spiral to the point where they now have this, like they spent a lot of money to try this blueprint project and to sign big name players. And it just went worse and worse every time they made a decision.
Think about when EG joined, right? They were that NRG team. They were the NRG team. And at IEM New York, they had to switch jerseys because they became they became this EG team, right? And so, like, the day before, they swapped jerseys and they began, and everyone was excited because that team was good. And during online era, the team was good for an American team because online was online. And then the second we got out of online, they were okay.
Yeah.
They won, like, one event with Oboe.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Oboe played on Complexity. I was thinking of Rush, and I put EG in my head, but it was Rush and Oboe playing on Complexity at the time. But either way, they won like one event and then it all went downhill. And it's been just a 2 year prolonged tumble.
Yeah, it's been a slow and painful death, but finally the sweet release of death appears to be upon us all.
Honestly, it sucks. So
yeah. Rest in peace, evil geniuses. Yep. We hardly knew you.
Rest in peace. Hopefully something better comes of it. For anyone interested, because I said it, apparently that LCS slot is going to Enthusiast Gaming, who owns Luminosity, which
I can't believe Luminosity is its own thing. But yeah, fine.
Sure. They also own an Overwatch League team, which died today, too. It's just a real big week for death of esports.
Yeah, it's not great.
On the other hand, Messi's now in esports, so overall win?
Money up, org down.
Money, yeah. All right, we are going to finish today's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Logan Ramhap, at AZSK, and at ReadTLDR. We'll be back again next week. I guess we'll talk about CS Asia Championships if something interesting happens. Bless Fall Finals, we'll maybe talk about next week, and maybe a week early. We're in a slow bit of the year. Rest of the year plan is Blast Premier Fall Finals, and then we'll have some. We're gonna start.
I thought this was gonna be a slow part, and then the entire world has flipped on its head. So
plan for the rest of the year, so that way everyone knows, and Elliot knows because he doesn't know the plan. Is we're gonna start recording our RMR pre-shows in December, because they happen in like January 7th or something like that. There is a plan. We're gonna do the same region breakout we did last year. I think we're gonna break Europe up a little more than we did.
I will miss 1 week in December, maybe two.
Yeah, we already planned for that. Don't worry about that. We already planned for that.
I think I missed 2 weeks in December.
We already planned for that.
I'm in Abu Dhabi.
One of those weeks is the week that I'm gonna record live in person with Maui and Ryan to do our NA bit. Yeah, we're gonna.
There are very few people who can replace me, but Maui Snake's definitely one of them.
Maui and Ryan and me in the same building. It's going to be a very interesting
podcast.
I love
Maui Snake. He's a really good guy.
We're going to have a bunch of stuff about the Open RMRs come through. You'll see them when you see them. Our goal is to release them like around Christmas, the week before the RMR starts, that way you can figure out what you want to pay attention to. But until that point, because that's like a month and a half out, but that's unfortunately how we have to plan here. You'll find us on Twitter, where we said you can find us on YouTube. We'll be back next week, where we'll talk about something. Maybe we'll have a Falcons.
Maybe we won't.
Maybe we'll
will have signed for £1 billion.
All right, bye everyone.